Scripture passage today is from Matthew 2, verses 13 through 23. Now, after they left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, then said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what might be spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. So there's sort of a canon of Christmas songs, and by canon I don't mean a war canon, a kaboom canon, but sort of like a canon, you know, the canon of Scripture, an official collection. There's sort of an official collection of Christmas songs. Certain songs have kind of made it into those songs that we sing around this time of year. Occasionally, new ones get added. I was thinking about Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas Is You." That came out in 1994. Not very long ago, really. That was my last year of college. It's become part of our Christmas songs now. It's just one of those songs you assume that you'll hear around this time of year. As I was thinking about this, I thought, I wonder if that, maybe some of you can help me with this, but were there songs 50 years ago, Christmas songs 50 years ago, we don't sing anymore? Do songs get dropped out over time, too? Anybody? Maybe, I don't know, but there's sort of, you know, there's that official collection of Christmas songs, the canon of Christmas songs, and one of the songs that's kind of an official Christmas song is "I'll Be Home for Christmas." It was written in 1943. It was to honor soldiers in World War II who were far away from home at the time. It was originally recorded by Bing Crosby, and you know the song, but the lyrics are, "I'll be home for Christmas, you can plan on me, please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love lights gleam. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams." There's something so powerful about the thought of that song, isn't there? That I will be home for Christmas, and somebody who's far, far away from home at this time of year, thinking about, even if it's only in my thoughts, even if it's only in my wishes, I'm there with you. Most of us, we feel that pull during this season. Wherever home is, you kind of want to be there at this time of year, whether it's the old home place, the old hometown. Even if it's home for you is right here, and that's where people gather, it's just something about everyone coming gathered at whatever is home for you, that there's something very meaningful about that, especially in this season. We want to be there for this time. We make great effort to be there. One Christmas, I went through 6 states to get home on Christmas Day. Our Montana folks will appreciate this. I was living in Montana at the time, and we had late night Christmas Eve services, and then I left at 4 in the morning. I was younger then, and I did dumb things like that, and for whatever reason, now I look back, and I think, why didn't you pay the extra money? But the prices were cheaper to fly out of Spokane, Washington, which was a little bit of a drive, rather than going out of Missoula, and so I left way before the light of day and trippy-eyed and drove through western Montana and then across the top of Idaho, that little narrow part of the top of Idaho, and then into Spokane, Washington, and parked my car there, and then I caught a plane that went to Denver, and I had a little bit of time there, and then I caught a plane that went to Chicago, and then I caught a plane finally that went to St. Louis, and my dad picked me up at the airport at like 7 o'clock that night on Christmas night. So, 6 states on Christmas Day there, Montana, Idaho, Washington, Colorado, Illinois, Missouri, all in one day. But I made it home. I made it home, and where I wanted to be there that day. I often quote Robert Frost that he said, home is the place you go, and they have to take you in. That's true, you know, if I made a mess of my life and went back to my family in Missouri or whatever, you know, they'd say, oh, okay, come on in, you know. If I made a mess of my day, my family here in Muncie would take me, still take me in. Home is the place where you go and they have to take you in. But home is deeper than that, isn't it? It's more than just people with some obligation towards you. It's home is belonging. It's welcome. It's comfort. It's where you can fall asleep on the couch and you don't feel guilty about it. It's where you can come in to breakfast in your pajamas and still feel comfortable. Try that at the hotel breakfast bar. See how well that'll go. But you can do that when you're at home, can't you? Home is where you can be comfortably silent. You know, with the people we love and care about, you can just kind of comfortably be silent and just to pat on the back some things that when you're at home is good enough for good night. And I understand why people long to be there, wherever home is, on those special moments like Christmas. And so I mention that as to say that this is a story about someone having to leave home, what I just read you. That's a displaced person, a refugee, someone who has to leave home. But we forget this often, this little part of Jesus' story, that Jesus and his family were displaced, that they had to leave, that they had to go to Egypt for a time. The story goes, as I just read, that after the wise men, the Magi, leave, and they're warned to go home, not to go back and tell King Herod where they found Jesus. And King Herod, who is the Roman ruler of that area, and not a very nice guy at all, the Herods were not nice folks, he decides he doesn't like this idea of having another king around. And one of the saddest parts in all of the Bible, he has all the children, 2 and under, around Bethlehem, put to death. What we often call the slaughter of the innocents. But Joseph is warned in a dream, and he's told, get the child and his mother out of here. They left in the middle of the night, under darkness, and told to flee to Egypt. And they stayed there until it was safe to come back. And I don't know if that was months or years or however long it was. I had a Christmas card I sent out one year. It was a beautiful image. Joseph and Mary holding Jesus and they're resting in the paws of the Sphinx, you know, the big Egyptian statue that they're sitting there resting between the paws that are holding the infant Jesus. I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine what that was like, you know, to leave home, to flee, to go to a foreign place, different language, different customs, different ways of doing things. The first time I went to Europe, I went to Scotland, and yes, they speak English there, but you can't really understand that. So I took a cab from the airport, and the cab driver was very chatty, and I thought, half of what you've said, I do not understand at all. But so many times that when I was there, I was thinking, am I doing this right? You ever had that experience in a foreign place? You think, am I doing it right? There's different customs, different ways of doing things. Do I pay at the table? Do I pay at the counter? I don't understand how it works. Which way does the line go? More than once in a foreign place, I've been chastised and said, the line starts over there, not over there. Oh, geez, you know? And do I tip? Do I not? There's so many things that we just assume are different when you go to a foreign place. And I remember that first trip overseas. I came back through the Philadelphia Airport, had a layover in Philadelphia, and I ordered something from a counter, and I thought, there was a sigh of relief. I thought, I know what I'm doing here. I, you know, there's no mystery to me on what I'm doing here at this place. But But so many places, in a foreign place, it's just different. It's just things are different. And so here are Mary and Joseph and Jesus in a foreign place, far from home. Like the soldiers here in "I'll Be Home for Christmas," longing for home, but not able to be there. And here we are in a nice warm place on this wet day and enjoying a nice meal and enjoying being together. And there's nothing wrong with that. We can give thanks for that and be happy about that. But I think it's important for us to remember that many in our world walk the same path that Jesus and his family walked. By the end of 2018, there were 70 million individuals forcibly displaced from their homes worldwide as a result from whether persecution or conflict or violence or human rights. That's more than 2 million more than the previous year, so the amount of displaced people has gone up. And the displaced population in this world is at a record high, and that includes almost 26 million refugees in the world, the highest the world has ever seen. 41 million people internally displaced, so folks that maybe are still in their home country but have had to leave their hometown or whatever. 3.5 million asylum seekers in this world, people who've gone to another country looking for safety. New displacements remain high. One person becomes displaced in this world every 2 seconds. So less than the amount of time it took me to read that last sentence, somebody was displaced. In our own country, I mean, we've dealt with this in recent years. In El Salvador, in Guatemala, in Honduras, they've experienced a dramatic escalation of violence because of organized criminal groups. They're locally called Maras. And so the homicide rates in those countries is the highest it's ever been. And so the number of people fleeing for their lives from Central America has grown 10 times in the last 5 years. A great humanitarian crisis happening not so far from our own country. And so fleeing, think about it, fleeing is a dire choice for these folks. The leader of the IRC, International Refugee, I don't know what the C stands for, in El Salvador, she says they are forced to choose between facing certain death or a desperate journey north. That's a tough choice, death or a journey north. And so thousands of these folks wait at our borders. My point is not to make you feel bad. Here we are, we're enjoying comfortable homes and a comfortable place and being home for Christmas. But my point is just to remind you that there are people in this world making the same kind of journey that Jesus and his family made. Leaving home, leaving what's familiar, to find a new home, a place of safety. And while we may enjoy homes of safety and comfort, and we can be thankful for those things, and nothing wrong with that, but that's not true for many, many people in this world. Good news is you can do something. You can give to organizations that help with refugees. Doctors Without Borders, International Rescue Committee, our own denomination, the Week of Compassion, which we take up an offering early in the year, so in a month or two. Its director, we watched a video of him, Yi Nguyen is his name, I know Yi pretty well, he's a Vietnamese refugee himself. And they do significant work in our name, in our church's name, help bring relief to refugees. So you can give to organizations like this. You can write to our elected representatives about the plight of refugees. You can pray. I just want to remind you that while we may be at home, many are not. Just as Jesus and his family were not for a time after his birth. We can't be like in the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest, and the Levite pass by the person in need on the other side. Jesus calls us to be like the Samaritan, to see the need, not all by, but to address it. I love to go home after church on Sunday because there is, and it may be the same for you as well, there's a nap waiting for me. There's something very blessed about Sunday afternoon naps. I don't know why Sunday naps are so much better than any other day of the week, but Sunday naps are the best. And the house goes quiet, we all take a nap. come, we all take a rest, and we're at home. You know, just that feeling of you can let down your guard and put on your sweatpants and take it easy and be at home and rest. I hope you have times like that here over the holidays, times of rest, times of being at home, times of comfort, times of being where you're loved and welcomed and you belong, times where you are at home. May we not forget, though, those who are far from home, just like Jesus and his family today.